Shortly after the recording of the episode you're about to hear on superstar Billy Graham, he unfortunately did pass away here at the age of 79. While we were recording, we were hopeful that he would somehow pull through. We knew the situation was dire, and it did seem unlikely, but unfortunately, superstar Billy Graham did pass away just moments ago, actually. We were recording some PW profiles that you'll be seeing here on our YouTube channel as well. But again, superstar Billy Graham has passed away at the age of 79.
It actually was broke. What I saw, it seems like Ric Flair was one of the first to break it.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was the first one to break it. And then obviously everybody else congregated it from it. I think
Now,
AEW just announced it on air, I believe, as well.
I mean, that makes sense, especially, I mean, with someone like Jim Ross backstage. And you know how much he loves history and all that. This was probably a gut punch for him. I know Dave Meltzer talked about how when it eventually happened, it'd be a gut punch for him as well. I know Triple H actually inducted Billy Graham to the Hall of Fame. So I mean, this is going to be one of those things that it's going to be felt throughout the wrestling landscape. And I mentioned at the end that I hoped that they do a tribute for him, a right one. And I thought about it after saying it. I mean, he almost should get one of those statues.
You'd
I mean,
think.
Bruno, Flair, yeah, with everything Superstar did and everything that I mentioned later on, I think he'd get one. I'm hoping maybe figures. I know his wife, they're not in the best financial situation, so maybe she'll continue his Legends deal. Maybe he'll get a pro wrestling tee store. I know they're usually good about putting out a t-shirt for someone who passed away so that way the family can get the benefits. Maybe we'll see him at a video game. All I know is I just hope for someone that had an influence in the WWF like he did, that he gets more than a rest in peace, Billy Graham.
Like a graphic.
Yeah, more than that.
I know I said it at the end of the podcast that we recorded for him, but donate to his GoFundMe if you do want to make a difference. Funeral costs and stuff like that are pretty expensive, pretty
Yes.
predatory.
Very predatory, and like I mentioned, it had been reported that the reason they set up the GoFundMe is because his insurance essentially ran out, and his wife was paying pretty much out of pocket for him to stay there.
Yeah, she works a full-time job on top of caring for him.
So if you can help his wife, and prepare to listen to me talk about the life of the superstar.
The World Wrestling Federation, for over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Now, here's a man who brightens up wherever he goes in more ways than one in his bright shirt, Superstar Billy Graham. Superstar.
Superstar Billy Graham right here live and in living color. Superstar, you know, it's the middle of January, but I've been through the tropics. I got my tropic suntan on, you understand? Superstar been behind the Iron Curtain, in front of the Iron Curtain, through the bamboo curtain, all around the world. Superstar Billy Graham putting the 24-inch pythons around anybody that's willing to get next to Superstar Billy Graham. In 1986, there's gonna be a whole lot of people gonna get in the fit. I want the cameraman come in close. Come in close and look at the arm. Don't come my arm up now. I want the world to see the 24-inch pythons of Superstar Billy Graham. Got more moves than a bowl of Jell-O, made out of solid steel. I got the arms the ladies want to feel. They want to grab my tricep. They want to grab my bicep. They want to grab hold my serratus magnus. I'm cool.
Yeah,
I'm bad to the bone. Superstar Billy Graham, stronger, faster, better, prettier. I even smell better this year. You understand what I'm talking about?
superstar Billy Graham fans, and he's excited about 1986, and so are we. Let's go to the ring.
For Scott Steiner, for Jesse Ventura, even before Hulk Hogan, there was one tie-dyed superstar, the bleached goatee, that set the wrestling world on fire. This man, of course, being superstar Billy Graham. Now, recent reports have stated that the superstar is on life support, and doctors have recommended taking him off it, so it is only a matter of time before the wrestling world loses another legend. This is a big one for the wrestling world. This is on the level of Bruno, Buddy Rogers, even Ric Flair. Although he's been lost to the annals of time, Billy Graham at one point was the main event or professional wrestling. Now, of course, he wasn't born Superstar Billy Graham. He was born Eldridge Wayne Coleman. Friends and family called him Wayne. In his early life, he played football. He actually was in the CFL. He threw shot put. He loved religion. He actually was in traveling ministries, and he showcased his feat of strength so that way the audience could see the strength that God or Jesus gave him. You know, breaking phone books in half, bending pieces of metal. His career in wrestling and bodybuilding actually began in 1961. That was his big moment. He was the winner of the West Coast Division of Mr. Teenage America. He continued to bodybuild for a few years, working out. 1968, he started working out at Gold's Gym. He was there with the likes of Dave Draper, Franco Colombo, some guy named Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I've never heard of him.
It was actually during this time that he bench pressed 605 pounds. The world record at the time was 616. It's one of those things where if the superstar would have continued the weightlifting, he probably would have had a lot of world records under his belt. To go along with his bodybuilding and strength training, at a Mr. America competition, his 22-inch biceps got him first place in Best Developed Arms. And later on in 1980, he took place in a World's Strongest Man competition, gaining 7th place. Do you figure 19 years after he did a lot of his working out, a lot of his bench pressing, it was well into his wrestling career, and he still, in a young man's game, got 7th place at a World's Strongest Man. We're not here to talk about all that. We're here to talk about the superstar, the professional wrestler, the sports entertainer. I was surprised to find out he was trained by Stu Hart. Now, when you think Stu Hart, you think of the people going through the dungeon.
Yeah.
You think of the Chris Jerichos, the Harts, the Chris Benoits. You don't really think of the meatheads like Superstar Billy Graham. I don't know if Billy Graham purposely selected this because he knew he needed the wrestling background. Maybe it was recommended to him. But I know next to Vern Gagne that at the time, Stu Hart was one of the hardest trainers. It's also interesting to me because you never hear Billy Graham listed as a trainee of the dungeon. It's something that the documentaries tend to overlook. He debuted in 1970, and he later changed his name to Billy Graham, both as a tribute to the televangelist at the time, and it was also to make him the youngest brother of the kayfabe Graham brothers, Eddie and Luke. Eddie being the Florida-based promoter who many a superstar looked up to, including Dusty Rhodes. It was in California in 1972 that he introduced one of his pre-match rituals, arm wrestling. This is something that we've seen quite a bit. Triple H is the one that comes to mind for it. Maybe Scott Steiner a little bit. To show how strong they are, they'd arm wrestle their opponents. The one that comes to my mind is when Triple H and Great Khali did it, and they had the glass that they had to slam their hands into. It was some sort of like Indian arm wrestling match.
that's what they do in India.
Yeah.
It's just arm wrestling on a pile of glass.
It was then in between 72 and 75, he debuted in the AWA. He also, besides arm wrestling, started weightlifting competition and posing routines. Again, kind of a Triple H staple. Remember he had the pose off with Scott Steiner. I also know earlier on, Rick Rude would have pose offs with people. So, you know, as I said early on, Billy Graham, a trendsetter, not only in the ring, but before he would even wrestle. He would have these competitions with other strongmen like Ken Patera and the Polish power Ivan Putski. He would then move on and wrestle in the WWF and the NWA, as one does to kind of cut their teeth. His crowning achievement in wrestling took place April 30th, 1977. He ended Bruno Sammartino's second reign as WWF champion. And it's always interesting to me. You always, the replay of Ivan Koloff beating Bruno Sammartino is shown quite a bit. Now it's for Bruno's first reign, but you really don't see a lot of the superstar winning it. Which I would think they'd advertise that a little more, they'd market it a little more, because it was almost a passing of the torch, moving on from the normal, you know, blue and black trunks, Greco-Roman, to a more colorful, jive, almost Muhammad Ali-esque personality. He feuded with Bruno, Jack Briscoe, Pedro Morales, and of course Dusty Rhodes in a NWA versus WWF classic feud. Ended up with a Texas Bull Rope match, which is regarded as one of the better matches of all time, not just for WWF, but all of professional wrestling. As I said, Superstar had a jive in his talk, and this was at a time when there wasn't a lot of good promos in the industry. Again, this is the late 70s, early 80s. This predated Hulkamania. This predated Jesse Ventura. This even predated a lot of Ric Flair stuff, or when Dusty Rhodes was full-on into the American Dream. Superstar was ahead of its time. And with his popularity, he actually wanted to be a face. He wanted to keep the title and go from heel to face, or drop it and chase after the championship. One of his ideas was having the previously mentioned Ivan Koloff beat him, and then Superstar could then become an all-American guy, which I find a little ironic, because that would essentially have made him Hulk Hogan. Vince Sr., though, you know, those damn Vince McMahons living in the past. He just thought this was crazy. There was no way, and he instantly refused it. So then Billy Graham would end up losing the championship to the new All-American boy, Bob Backlund. He was then disillusioned with this, losing the championship. And he ended up going back to the NWA for some time. But still, his love of wrestling, it died away. Now, you could say this is because he lost his main event spot. You figure, though, at the time, if you were on top, you got the money. Not everyone was paid, no matter their spot. So going from main eventing all those big Madison Square Garden shows, all those big arena shows, and now you're kind of just in the middle of the pack. You don't know if you'll ever get a heavyweight championship shot again. Because you figure at this time, heels were typically transitional champions. Yeah. If you go through, Buddy Rogers was the first champion. He held it for a few days for dropping it to Bruno. Ivan Koloff held it for a cup of coffee in between Bruno and Pedro Morales.
Well, you know, back then, you know, wrestling was real.
Yeah.
And heel champions don't sell tickets.
No. I'd say Stan Stasiak barely held it. Iron Sheik in between Backlund and Hogan had it for maybe a month or two. You could argue Randy Savage, but if you remember when he first won the title, he was a face. It was just because of Hogan lusting after Elizabeth. And he became a heel.
Don't blame him.
Yeah. It was Flair did win the Rumble and have the championship. But that still less than 200 days. Sergeant Slaughter beat Warrior and dropped it to Hogan. Less than a couple months. It actually wasn't until Yokozuna, which you figure was the early 90s, that a heel champion held the title for more than 200 days. So just think of how far wrestling's come, but you figure at that time, Billy Graham holding it for 9 months, that was just something, it was just disbelief, and that's why he wanted to be the face. Like I said, he was disillusioned. He actually started working at a pipeline. He learned martial arts. It was actually rumored he died. There's an interview with Gorilla Monsoon, and he was asked about Billy Graham because he used to be an adversary, and he thought he was dead. Like, can you imagine? That would essentially, the only thing I can compare it to is when Punk left WWE. If instead of like social media and reporters keeping up on him, they're just like, hey, Mr. Cena, have you heard about CM Punk lately? And he's like, ah, probably dead.
He died.
Yeah, he's died, lol. Like, I just, it baffles me to read this. And then it was put in a newspaper. And I know, like you said, wrestling was real at the time, but Jesus. Yeah. Like, you tell me that nobody was a friend of him to like call and be like, hey, haven't seen you in a while. You okay? He probably did disappear because he relied heavily on steroids for most of his career. We'll get into that. He also, I mean, at the time, you know, drugs played a big part in entertainers and athletes. And
what?
Yeah, I know.
I think
in his doc,
they're not all natural.
No.
Oh, so saying my prayers and my vitamins won't give me that body.
Well, it will if you say your prayers and your vitamins. Yes, because okay. That's how Hulk Hogan did it.
Ooh, yeah.
But Billy Graham in his WWE documentary, 20 Years Too Soon, actually discussed, you know, waking up just on a random street, not knowing where he was. He had lost grip on reality.
Well, we all know how that's like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Before this, he had the blonde hair, he had a clean face, essentially picture Hogan without facial hair, wore a bunch of tie-dye. He showed back up in the WWF in 1982. He was skinnier, he wore all black, he had a shaved head and a mustache. It's said that he completely changed his look because of the frustration toward Vince Sr. for not letting him be a fan favorite. And this is the first time that I can think of a wrestler completely changed his gimmick. Like, he didn't just go from babyface to heel. You know, he didn't just go from a tag team or a stable to a single. Or he didn't completely change his name. Like, this was still Billy Graham, but a completely different Billy Graham. No more flexing, now more karate. Went back to the AWA in 1983, and then he eventually joined the NWA. He gained his normal weight back, but he joined Kevin Sullivan's Army of Darkness, which I was recently inducted into at the Squared Circle Con in Indianapolis. So I'm on the same level as Superstar Billy Graham.
I would honestly put you above him a little bit.
Most would. But as I said, he joined the Army of Darkness, which, again, at the time when you had to truly be your character... Could you imagine someone who is so devout in religion joining a stable of Satan worshippers? Like, that had to be one of the hardest things at the time to do. I mean, I know Kevin Sullivan, you know, they said he lived the gimmick, which is why people are crazy and think he actually did the Benoit murders. This is the 80s when he got away with more. Oh, shit. Poor Billy Graham, I mean... Shit. I don't know, it would have had to be in mind-warping. But don't fear, Billy Graham fans. He turned face and regained his colors. One of my more favorite promos of Billy Graham, to paraphrase, he was asking, who was that man with the karate? That wasn't the superstar. He's going around saying he's Superstar Billy Graham. There's only one superstar, and he's here right before you. Wiping away the character that he was and going back to the original tie-dyed fan. He returned to the WWF in 1986. I don't know. I couldn't find anything. I don't know if this is because of Vince Jr.'s loyalty to the people that helped make his father's territory so big. I don't know if this is because Superstar still had that fan following. They figure this was almost 10 years later after he was at his peak. Came back, and he was trying to have a run of his own. He was feuding with Hacksaw Butch Reed, Harley Race, which, I mean, those two are legends in their own right. Injuries did cost him his career in 1987. It was actually his hip and back. He had to have multiple hip surgeries, and the doctors in his documentary stated that this was because of the steroid use. You figure, I mean, I don't want to speculate, but if he was juicing from the moment he was working out, then by this point, he's 25 years in. And to get 22-inch arms, I mean, that's quite a bit of juice.
That are a lot of prayers.
Yeah. He actually managed Don Morocco when Don Morocco was The Rock. He was a tie-dyed guy. He also tried commentary, which, you know, it's rare that a superstar who is so good on promos doesn't work out at the commentary booth. I mean, it worked for Savage, it worked for Piper, it worked for Dusty. Even Ted DiBiase did good. You had Larry Zbysko. But Superstar just didn't grasp on. It's not what Vince Jr. wanted. He then essentially left the wrestling landscape until the steroid trial. He was one of the men that stood against Vince McMahon, and he said that Vince forced steroids on him, Vince Jr. specifically.
Yes, I remember.
Okay. Now, also if you remember, I said Superstar won the heavyweight title in 77, which means he had been wrestling, as I said, since 1970.
Uh-huh.
So Vince Jr. is definitely the one that forced him on him. I mean, there's no way, right? I mean, Vince Jr. didn't really start getting involved until really 78, 79, 80. So, I mean, right. It's got to be him.
Vince Jr.'s a time traveler.
Yeah. On top of this, in 1992, he was on the Phil Donahue Show with Vince. And he claimed to have witnessed multiple acts of sexual abuse toward children in the WWF backstage. What? Vince refuted these chains. He refuted these. He said this didn't happen, but Superstar stuck to his guns. I know that it would seem like this was something that could actually be true, but it later turned out that Superstar was trying to get hush money out of Vince Jr.
Him and everybody else back then.
I know, but still, can you imagine? It's like, oh, the steroids didn't work. What do we do now? Ah, yeah, you're a pedophile.
Like, I don't know, a part of me, like, I know, like, he's bullshitting here, like, it's not true.
Yeah. But,
like, I don't know, Vince, everything we know about Vince, it could be.
I know. Well, and then the Pat Patterson allegations, too. Yeah. Because wasn't that with the Ring Boy? Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Superstar tried to apologize. He really didn't hear anything, though, until he had to have a liver transplant in 2002. His doctor told him if he didn't get a liver, he was going to die. There's someone that passed away. He was able to get her liver. And he says that Vince McMahon called him and said, Superstar, this is the main event. You've got to kick out. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2004 by Triple H, who, as I mentioned earlier, seemed to have not necessarily copied the look of the Superstar as many others have done. Definitely used a lot of mannerisms, especially the posing, arm wrestling. In his documentary, they showed the reunion with Vince McMahon. Superstar was backstage at a show in Arizona. Vince came up and he immediately embraced him. I always find this one funny because this was at like the Hawaiian shirt era for Vince. So you got Billy Graham there with a Hawaiian shirt because that was his thing, tie-dye. And they got Vince there, and they're just hugging, and that Superstar tells him he loves him. Oh, thank you, Vince, thank you. And all Vince is doing is rubbing his back and going, yep, I love you too. Oh, let's bygones be bygones. Water under the bridge. Vince has done that a lot afterwards. I mean, to name a few, he did it with Bruno. He did it with Warrior. He did it when he brought Backlund back into the fold again. this is really the first time that I could think of someone that wronged Vince that he brought back in into the inner circle. But of course, like with everything else that Vince revives, there's the documentary I've mentioned. There's a book. He made appearances on Raw. He was actually the one that told Randy Orton he needs to do something to make himself stand out, which started the Legend Killer gimmick. Billy Graham was making headwaves, and then he started blogging and Facebooking.
Uh-oh.
Just to name a couple things, in 2010, he talked about how Linda McMahon was trying to get into politics to distance herself from the racy WWE. I always find this hilarious, because it's well documented that Bruno stepped away because how racy the Attitude Era got, which is fair. You know, there's nudity, there is blood, there's people getting hung on crosses, there's people getting hung. I mean, there's a lot. 2010.
PG era.
Yeah. Hornswoggle was at the forefront. You had some silly... Yeah, I mean, this was around the time Kali started dancing, I believe.
This is like peak... unwatchable.
Yeah.
WWE.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. So I don't know why that's when he decided to speak out. He also sold his Hall of Fame ring because Abdullah the Butcher got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And his reasoning is because Abdullah is just hardcore and he was never in the WWE. And this I've always found a little crazy too. Because, you know, the never in the WWE thing, okay, I'm sure there's some purist out there that actually bugs. Even though if they look into it, WWE bought the tape library and the rights to so many promotions that it makes sense for outside people to be in it. I mean, the NFL Hall of Fame has people that didn't play in the NFL. They play in the AFL. But the fact that because Abdullah wasn't a wrestling purist, too... Which is, again, just, it's crazy because, as I said, Superstar wasn't a Greco-Roman guy. He was brash, he was loud, he wore bright colors. So he was completely different than wrestling at the time.
Well, but maybe, we see it all. I think Abdullah the Butcher should probably sell his Hall of Fame ring, too.
He might have.
I just Googled his name, and the first news story comes up is from our local station here in Detroit. April, like literally 1 month ago today. Okay. WWE Hall of Famer Abdullah the Butcher says his financial woes stem from illiteracy.
Yeah, I think he might have sold his, or he tried. There's a handful of people that have. Paul Bearer's son sold his ring, which irritates me. I'm pretty sure Sonny sold hers. And then Billy Graham. Yeah.
His ended up on Pawn Stars.
Yes. But Superstar did not like Abdullah. I mean, I don't know if it's also because Abdullah liked to bleed on people and he had hepatitis. That'd be my reason, but who knows?
Oh, he did sell his Hall of Fame ring. Yeah, this last sense. Abdullah Butcher had to sell his Hall of Fame ring to make ends meet. He does have a GoFundMe, I think. Yeah.
The last big wrestling news for the Superstar was in 2015. This was shortly after Dusty Rhodes died. Dusty Rhodes, of course, a friend of the Superstar. Superstar wanted to take his spot down in NXT. Which, I mean, I don't think would have been a bad idea. Because Dusty pretty much did promos and character work. And I mean, as I said before, Superstar was the first guy to really morph himself. Really change. He's still good on the mic. Another favorite part of mine in his documentary is to show the old promos. And it pans back and forth between him then and him now, and he just matches the promo word for word. And he's not reading anything, it's just from memory, and he's just still into it. It's one of those things, the brain is still young, even though the body's old. I think he would have been great down there.
Yeah.
But I think they made the right call based on how he flip-flops between loving WWE and hating him. Yeah. He did get another Legends deal as a parent by his new elite figure. Which can be seen in our Comic-Con video. It's one that I almost bought. But since then, I mean, the superstar, besides his Facebook, it's pretty much been quiet. He hasn't made any video game appearances. Everyone questions why Bruno did. I mean, he's Bruno. He's kind of a wrestling god. I don't think Superstar will be in a WWE one. I know he was one of the faces of the Legends of Wrestling games. That's actually where I discovered him first. That's where I discovered a lot of the older people. But I'm hoping that, because it seems like it's not if, but when Superstar's going to pass, I'm hoping that the WWE gives him a tribute deserving of what he brought to the industry. And it's not just a brief infographic. As I said, he revolutionized the industry, not only for heels, not only for promos, just everything in general. I think without the Superstar, you'd still have Hulk Hogan, but you wouldn't have Hulkamania. You'd still have Jesse Ventura, but you wouldn't have Jesse the Body. And you'd still have Scott Steiner, but you wouldn't have Big Papa Pump. So, last words are really just positive thoughts to his wife, Valerie. Been with him since 1981. I know that as of this time, they've used all their insurance that they can, and she's pretty much been paying out of pocket a lot of his hospital visits.
Yeah, they have a GoFundMe set up, and let me see. Right as of right now, there's so much people donating. They have a $50,000 goal. They're at $21,248 as a recording. That's up from yesterday.
Yeah, it's about $4,000 up from yesterday.
Yeah. So make sure you go and donate to that. It's Superstar Billy Gamble's Recovery Fund.
I'm sure at this point a lot of it's, I mean, it's not going to be for recovery. It'll be for his wife afterward. I can't imagine he's got good life insurance. I mean, he's a professional wrestler. Insurance just isn't in the name of the game, especially for someone that wrestled at that time. So, Billy Graham, Wayne Coleman, thank you for what you brought to the wrestling industry. And as I said, good luck and positive thoughts to Valerie.
And here is the legend, the colorful superstar, Billy Graham.
I said superstar Billy Graham is on the airwaves. The superstar is on the superstation. I'm on the cable system. I'm on the satellite system. I'm on the laser beam system. I'm on the microwave system. Superstar being beamed all around the world. I'm the man with the biggest arm. I'm the man who does the most harm. Now, most people take their Chevrolet or their LTD into the shop to get their front end aligned and their wheels balanced. The superstar's arms are so big, the pythons, I got to take my arms in and get my arms balanced, you understand? Speed balance. Now, let me lay something on Nature Boy Slicky Ricky Flair. Sooner or later, Slick Rick is going to have to deal with superstar Billy Graham. And the question is, that's it. The question is, how you going to deal with the Man of Steel? What you going to do with you know who? And how you going to act when you get superstar attacked? Now you see, the World Championship belt, I need that belt, baby. It's a heavy belt. It's got gold on it. It's got silver on it. It's got platinum. It's got calcium, magnesium, and zinc. It's got uranium and titanium. It's got cobalt and asphalt. Superstar Billy, your fault, his fault, St. Andrea's fault. Superstar Billy Graham got to have the World Championship belt. The 24-inch pythons of the superstar will prevail.
And there he is, fans, the legend, superstar Billy Graham, joining us here today on World Championship Wrestling. For David Crockett, I'm Tony Schiavone. We'll see you next week.